Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility presents the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman, going in-depth with the most interesting innovators, changemakers, business leaders, politicians, and activists in Vermont and around the country. This special feature from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is made possible in part by People's United Bank. Find out what know-how can do. A better business relationship. Fairpoint Communications. Small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. Lake Champlain Transportation, a community leader pioneering new paths in business. And by National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years working for a better tomorrow and over 1,000 VBSR members. Here is noted Vermont author David Goodman.
Welcome to the Vermont Conversation. Today on the Vermont Conversation, we're going to be talking about the school-to-life connection, looking at the innovative ways that Vermont schools are connecting students with jobs. You are welcome to join this conversation by calling us at 802-244-1777 or toll-free at 877-291-8255. Our guest this week to help us explore the issue of this school-to-life connection will be Representative Michelle Coopersmith, Becky Cohen from Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility, Professor Gary Flumenhoff from UVM, Al Bullis from Common Sense Energy, and Kevin Collins, a recent UVM grad. We're going to start by turning back just a couple weeks to Governor Peter Shumlin during his second inaugural address, when he addressed the issue of connecting Vermont businesses with Vermont students. Let's listen to what Governor Shumlin chose to focus on during his inaugural address in speaking to this issue.
I call on employers to engage with the education system at all levels. Open your businesses to our students. Let them interact with your employees so they can see how to use their education every single day. Invite teachers and guidance counselors in to experience a deeper understanding of what their students need to succeed. Engage high school and college interns and provide opportunities for young employees to go back and for all employees to go back and further their educational opportunities. The Vermont that I envision for our future is one where the companies that I mentioned earlier, from border to border, are thriving with Vermont-trained and Vermont-educated workers. It's a future in which our kids can expect their top-quality education to open up a world of opportunity right here at home. It's a future in which these students, as well as adults, are fluent in math and science and are using the latest technology to learn and then to work. It's a future in which the greatest dilemma facing Vermont's businesses is not how to find a good Vermonter to hire, but how to choose among the abundance of qualified Vermonters. And it's a future in which Vermont is once again showing the nation what it takes to innovate, create new opportunities to grow, and to lead. This future is within our reach if we have the courage and the creativity to seize it. Let's seize it together. Thank you.
On that note, we turn to Representative Michelle Coopersmith. Representative Coopersmith serves on the Vermont House Committee on Commerce and Economic Development. She has been tasked by Speaker Shap Smith with helping to devise a plan for education and workforce development. Welcome to the Vermont Conversation, Representative Coopersmith.
Thank you very much.
Could you just give us an overview? I know that this is not a new issue for you or for Vermont in trying to find ways to connect students of Vermont schools with what they do after college and high school. So tell us a little bit about some of the work that you've been involved in.
Thank you, David. It's really, really exciting to be here. I do want to mention that that in the House that Shap Smith has signed me, as well as Peter Peltz, who is another representative who's on the Education Committee. And it's the first time, sort of, that officially the committee that handles economic development and the issues relating to our businesses is working in very direct alignment with our education committee. So that's pretty exciting. This is a conversation we've been having for a long time in the State House. Back 10 years ago, there was a recognition that Vermonters needed more access to opportunities that led directly to work or eventually to work. And so I told you earlier that we had what was called the Next Generation Commission, and that came up with a lot of the information we needed to understand that there were some changes that could happen within our school systems at every level, K through 12, and at the college level, and also for adults wanting to change careers and change jobs. And so we identified a lot of the need within the state. And in the interim, a new fund was created, and that fund put a lot more money toward things like internships for high school and college students, and there's been a lot of growth and for increased assistance to our tech centers and more training for adults to move from one job or career to another. But it's really only this year that it's absolutely become clear that our employers in Vermont have identified as their highest need, literally. And there are other high needs, but this has been identified as their highest need for most employers, is their need to they need more help in finding employees who can do the kind of work that they have, that they know that there's all this talent out there, the great kids coming out of our schools, high school and college, and there are a lot of adults who are wonderful workers, but that there's been some definite loss of ground in how people are prepared to do the jobs that are emerging in our economy.
Why has this bubbled up now to the point where Governor Shumlin is making it a centerpiece of his second inaugural address?
Well, I think that there are several reasons. I think that he has recognized for some time now that it was a major issue, and so did the legislature. But I think the articulation of it on the part of the employers and through their organizations, it has just reached almost a crescendo, that it's become a crisis. It's a terrible disconnect. We hear that our kids are graduating from college and leaving the state because they can't find work. We hear that people want to take jobs and they're not able to find work, and it's reflected in our unemployment rate, and worse, people who just aren't being able to move where they'd like to. But at the same time, we have hundreds, literally documented hundreds and hundreds of vacancies sitting with our employers in the state today. And employers say it isn't just that they have those vacancies that they can't fill, it's that they have opportunities for growth that they're not accessing because they can't bring in the talent they need that they can count on. And it's a terrible disconnect, and it's a waste of talent because we know we have the raw talent. So that's what we're focusing on at a higher level now.
And you've mentioned that the state has been engaged in this for, you know, quite some time already. Tell me about some of the efforts that the state has made to link businesses with students.
Well, parents know and kids know that there are a lot of different ways that you can go through a traditional educational system, yet at the same time be in a planning route to know where you're going to end up in work eventually. And this is not to say that kids should be tracked and trained during high school or college, but a lot of them would like to do that. So what has happened over the last 10 years in particular is we've now got a lot more internship activity going on where students can actually go outside the classroom and work in a nonprofit or a business. Historically, the colleges have, and the high schools too, have done an excellent job getting kids out working with nonprofits. In fact, if you look at Vermont's nonprofits, I bet they're heavily staffed by students, particularly college students, but high school students too, literally coming in and doing the work that they need to do. Most of those students receive academic credit, and that's what that's the model that has historically worked really well. What we identified several years back was that there were very few interns working in the private sector, our profit sector. and that just hadn't evolved yet. Now, it certainly is historically has been true for the education and training of certain professions, doctors, nurses, social workers, educators. They've all had that internship activity embedded into their academic learning, and it's part of the whole structure. But we didn't see that as much for engineering students or computer science students, in little bits and pieces here and there, but not as an institutional focus, and our business students and our liberal arts students. And that's what we're really building on. We've seen a real explosion of that in the state.
Is the other issue, though, about why Vermont students aren't ending up in Vermont jobs that perhaps in this, you know, in a competitive marketplace, they're finding better jobs at better pay elsewhere?
I don't doubt that there are many situations where a student, a graduate, will have the ability to earn higher salary out of state. We all know that's true, but not in every case. I think that what we're hearing and what I believe is true, students say they want to live in Vermont. They would choose to live in Vermont, even at a lower salary, and they simply don't have the job. And let me just say that the reason internships are so valuable, it isn't just that the student gets the experience that they can then put on their resume and they learn actual work, so they're able to say, I can do this thing that you do, but they build the relationship. And what we're seeing evolving very quickly is that businesses are using the internship model as part of their hiring plan. It's actually a way for them to bring in a student, maybe after their freshman year, their sophomore year, they bring them in for maybe even sequential summers, and they get to know them well, and they realize, we need this kid, and we're going to hire them upon graduation. We're seeing a lot more of that. And convincing employers to do that was not hard at all with some, and with others, they were a little reluctant at first. It was sort of like, well, another person to supervise, and what are we going to do with them? And they're now learning that kids are really a lot of help. And in a lot of the IT kids and others, they're really innovative, and they bring new ideas into a business. It's been quite a shot in the arm for a lot of them.
We are talking today on the Vermont Conversation with Representative Michelle Coopersmith about the School to Life connection. You're welcome to join the conversation by calling in at 244-1777 or toll-free at 877-291-8255. Let's bring into the conversation Becky Cohen, who works as the internship manager for Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility. Becky, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hi.
So, hi, Becky.
Hi.
Becky, tell us a little bit first about how your position came about. I understand that it was actually funded by the state of Vermont.
Sure. The VBSR Vermont Intern Program is funded by a grant from the state of Vermont. It is part of the Next Generation Internship Grant Funds, with the goal of helping employers and students connect for paid internships so that students can gain experience and stay in the state after graduation, and also to get employers to think about utilizing students as part of the workforce and training them for their future needs.
How do students and businesses find you? How do you become the matchmaker?
Good question. So I go out to all different career fairs at the colleges in the state and interact with students at those, and go to different events at different colleges. And right now we have a list of about 800 students who are interested in doing internships. And then I do outreach to businesses by, you know, utilizing the VBSR network. We're a pretty strong group of businesses throughout the state. And then, you know, doing outreach to other businesses at different networking events, and just getting out there and talking about internships. So,
are there more students or job seekers than jobs at this moment?
At this moment, yes. I had one internship that was posted and closed yesterday, and we had 50 students apply for it.
And where can people find these internship listings?
They can go on to internvt.org.
Okay.
All there.
Now, Governor Shumlin singled out so-called MEST, that is Math, Engineering, Science, and Technology, as an area that he was particularly eager to fund and push. Is what you're finding that those are the areas in greatest demand, those are the job skills in greatest demand?
For the positions that we've posted, for example, we have one with Local Vore Today for a junior web developer intern. We have just struggled to find a student who is interested in doing it because there's so few students who have those skills, and the ones that do are snapped up and already doing, you know, freelance work while they're still in school. So those are definitely in high demand.
Can you give us an idea of, give us some of the numbers around your program, the number of people, jobs and job seekers who you have connected?
Absolutely. So in the lifetime of our program, so since 2008, we have placed 200 interns. We have had about 14 that have gone on to be direct full-time hires, and numerous others, I'm sure, that we just can't track who have found a position through their internship. We've worked with about 150 businesses, and in 2012, we placed 52 interns, and so far this year, we've posted 8 internships and placed 3.
And these are all, as you said, paid internships?
Yes, they are, ranging from minimum wage up to around $15 an hour positions.
Is an internship a good way to enter a job, or is it, you know, what should, you know, new prospective hires feel about starting their work life as an intern?
I think it's fabulous. I think that, you know, it's a great way to get your foot in the door at a company, gain some experience, and, you know, if it doesn't work out to become a full-time position at that company, chances are that you've found a way to network into the Vermont business community and start to, you know, kind of feel that out and see what other options are available. But I think it's just really a fabulous way to get in there.
Michelle Cooper-Smith, you were involved, I gather, in some fashion in the effort that brought about this Department of Labor grant that led to this internship program. What was the thinking behind the state getting involved in this?
Well, I think some of us just really knew that internships were the way of the future, really, for schools. And schools in other states had already developed this policy as a real policy objective, getting kids out of the classroom into real work experiences, real life experiences. We're not just talking about training here. We're talking about all those benefits of interfacing with adults in work settings and outside the confines of a school setting. And so several of us recognized that, and we just were quite insistent. I was very insistent that this money get put in the original Next Generation Fund, and it has survived. Now, times got tough financially. The state has cut funding for a number of these programs, and we're trying to reactivate it and find new and creative ways to get kids out into businesses. In fact, what you'll find is that the governor, as well as our speaker, have really called upon our employers. You heard Becky just now say that there are 50 kids for certain openings. We need more employers to be willing to open their doors to take in a student, whether it's for several weeks during the summer, a whole summer, sometime during the semester, all these times. And we are prepared to help those employers to make this work for them. There are some employers express concern about issues around unemployment and workers' comp and minimum wage and all those things. And the state has really geared up to be responsive to that. And so it's a great thing happening.
And I guess I keep coming back to that idea of, you know, what is happening now? Are there particular businesses? I mean, obviously we hear about dealer.com, you know, real bump in their growth. The whole effort with the Northeast Kingdom Initiative that Bill Stenger's involved in. Are those the kinds of, you know, initiatives that you're seeing on the horizon that you're going to hit this wall of lack of manpower or person power?
Well, actually, it's much, much, much broader than that, believe it or not. We have actually quite a robust manufacturing economy in Vermont. People think that it's died. It has not died. In fact, it has the opportunity to grow from where it is now. And the manufacturers are not able to get the work that they need. We don't have enough electricians. We don't have enough plumbers. We don't have enough. So it isn't just the IT, and although it is, and the biotech and the different, it's literally every single sector has a need for additional ways of bringing in talent. Now, historically, certain sectors have already done that and continue to do it well. I think the banking sector knows how to bring in talent and work them up through the ranks within. The financial sector is very good at that. And I mentioned the other professional development. But it's just not – so we need it everywhere. You know, things, the world keeps changing. Manufacturing used to be something that people could leave high school and walk in and do. And now you have CNC machining, and you have, which is, using computers to control the machines. It's not manual process the way it used to be. So we need students who can, employers need people with more direct training.
Did you have another point you wanted to make?
Well, I did at some point want to just talk about career tracks and how that's shifting it significantly in the country as well in Vermont, about what does it mean to get a college education today, and does that get you where you want to go?
Right, because that has certainly been under fire as people are looking at this ballooning college debt. And the question rightly is asked, why bother? What do you need a college education for?
Well, this is a great opening to that. We have significant data at the federal level, and we're now trying to duplicate it at the state level. And I've actually been working with our joint fiscal office. We have several economists who work for the state who are going to help us make sure that we really understand what is the face of our Vermonters, both people who have already come out of school, whether it's straight out of high school and now they're not continuing on or a college. But we do know a bunch of things, and this I'm going to cite from a report called Pathways to Prosperity, prepared by the Harvard Graduate School of Education. This data we've seen this repeatedly in other studies, but the center projects that the U.S. economy will create about 47 million job openings over the 10-year period ending in 2018. And nearly two-thirds of these jobs will require that workers have at least some higher ed, post-secondary education. And it's really important to recognize that the sum part is really significant here, that of that group that needs some post-secondary education, over half, by many reports, require only an associate's degree or an occupational certificate, not a four-year traditional degree. And in fact, the study gets even more interesting, that 27% of the people with post-secondary licenses or certificates, which are credentials short of an associate's degree, earn more than the average graduate with a bachelor's degree. And this is a reality that is shifting, and there's some reluctance because Americans still think that a four-year degree is the ticket to success in terms of jobs, both in terms of getting the job but also the pay that they earn. And this is not actually always true. It's certainly true in a limited way. So what we're doing is working very closely with our colleges. Certain of our schools have already recognized this, but working with them so that they integrate more this sort of applied learning approach and offer students many more options for getting certification. That's the BA, the associates, just certificates. Schools are really catching. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle, and thank you, Becky.
Thank you.
The next time you open up your wallet, take a closer look. Ask yourself, does your money have values? At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we believe that money can have value and values. At the Vermont Community Loan Fund, we value Vermont. We make loans that put Vermonters back to work, supporting local businesses, farms, and food. Our loans build homes and support organizations that provide essential services like childcare. When you invest with the Vermont Community Loan Fund, you're investing in Vermont. You decide how much to invest, how long to invest, and the interest rate you'll earn. For 25 years, we've helped Vermont families, businesses, foundations, faith-based groups, and other folks like you invest in Vermont for Vermont. That's money with value and values. The Vermont Community Loan Fund, putting your money to work for you and for Vermont. Learn more at investinvermont.org. That's investinvermont.org.
AP Update. I'm Rita Foley. Looks like lawmakers have come up with a plan that will allow the government to borrow the money it needs to pay the bills for another few months. We go live now to Capitol Hill and our Jerry Bodlander. Jerry, what's going on?
Rita, the bill that just passed the House would suspend the debt ceiling until the middle of May.
The yeas are 285 and the nays are 144.
The vote pushes down the road any showdown over a previous GOP demand that an increase in the borrowing authority include spending cuts. It also contains a provision aimed directly at the Senate that calls for the pay of lawmakers to be put in escrow if the Senate and House don't pass a budget. Now, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says the Senate will pass this bill, and the White House has indicated it will not block the measure, and so the president will sign it. Rita?
So the bottom line, Jerry, is we get another 3 or 4 months out of this, and then we have to do the debt ceiling fight again, right?
Indeed. That's what's going to happen. We've bought ourselves a couple of months.
All right, Jerry Bodlander, live on Capitol Hill. I'm Rita Foley.
This Thursday, WDEV will bring you live coverage of Governor Peter Shumlin's annual budget address to the legislature at the State House in Montpelier. Our coverage is brought to you by the National Life Group, a leader in our financial services industry and in our community as well. The Governor's Budget Address, Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock on 96.1 FM, 550 AM, WDEV.
Sometimes when you want something done right, you have to do it yourself. That's why Audi South Burlington has introduced the Audi Design Workshop. It's your unique opportunity to design your new Audi exactly the way you want it. Choose your color, choose your options, choose the interior. Make your new Audi. No matter which Audi model you choose, A4, A6, A8, it doesn't matter. You can design it yourself so it looks the way you want and drives the way you want. And right now, there's special incentives for BMW and Mercedes owners to make the change to Audi. Trade your Mercedes or BMW and get extra cash back from Audi. Once you drive one, you'll never go back. Current Audi owners win too. Trade your current Audi for a new one, and Audi will reward you with owner loyalty cash. Make your new Audi, exactly the way you want it. Audi South Burlington on Shelburne Road and at AudiSouthBurlington.com.
Imagine your car's engine running without good maintenance. Now think of your heart. The Medicine Shop Pharmacy helps you take care of life's engine. With our 100% focus on health, we're your one-stop shop for health products, as well as the health information and advice you and your family depend on. It's all part of the Medicine Shop promise to provide the products, information, and personal service that you need to care for your health and your family's health with confidence. No wonder so many health-conscious people take the Medicine Shop Pharmacy to heart. The Medicine Shop Pharmacy, 100% pure pharmacy. South Main Street, Barry.
This Saturday morning, tune into Radio Vermont's Pioneer Radio Voice, The Old Squire, with thoughts on life and the living of it in northern New England. A presentation of L.W. Greenwood and Sons, East Randolph. Rural Vermont families have relied on L.W. Greenwood for high-quality farm equipment since 1929. Vermont's family-owned and operated L.W. Greenwood & Sons, Route 14, East Randolph, lwgreenwood.com. That's The Old Squire, this Saturday morning.
Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility is pleased to make the Vermont Conversation with David Goodman available, along with Lake Champlain Transportation, a community leader pioneering new paths in business. People's United Bank, find out what know-how can do. A better business relationship. National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years, working for a better tomorrow. Fairpoint Communications, small business owners make it big with Fairpoint and the over 1,000 VBSR members.
Welcome back to the Vermont Conversation. This week, we're talking about the school-to-life connection, the issue of how to connect Vermont students with Vermont jobs. In the second half of our show, we're going to begin with Gary Flumenhoft, who is a lecturer at UVM in the Rubenstein School of Natural Resources and a fellow at the Gund Institute for Ecological Economics. Welcome, Gary, to the Vermont Conversation. And to our listeners, you can join this conversation by calling 244-1777 or toll-free at 877-291-8255. You can also listen later to the Vermont Conversation by going to the VBSR website. That's vbsr.org, where you'll see a link to the recorded show. So, Gary Flumenhoft, tell me a little bit about the course that you teach at UVM that has launched so many kids into the work world.
It's a course called Principles and Applications of Renewable Energy, and I teach it along with A.J. Rossman, who was the founder of Draker Labs. And in the fall semester, we do half classroom, which is the principles, and half applications, which is the internship component. And so they learn the information in classroom, and then they try to apply it in their internship with a Vermont company.
And do they get credit for the internship that they do?
Right. So they get course credit for the internship. So half the course credit comes from the internship, which is 30 hours, and half from the classroom, which is another 30 hours. So it's a four-credit class.
What are some of the companies who've been working with you to place your students?
Well, I've placed probably 100 students in different organizations, so there's a long list. But some of the superstars that have been really great at accommodating our interns have been Common Sense Energy with Al Bullis, who's on the phone, and Avatar Energy, which is a cow power company, and Whole System Design, which is permaculture, and Renewable Energy Vermont has taken on a few, and quite a few others that have been really great. And I really appreciate all the organizations that have done this for us.
Well, we have on the line Al Bullis, who works with Common Sense Energy in Burlington. Welcome, Al.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
Al, tell us a little bit about what motivated you to work with these UVM students and take internships into your business, and also tell us a little bit about Common Sense Energy.
Well, Common Sense Energy is kind of morphed out of the previous consulting company I had, which came out of another, that I took a course in college, Energy and Society, and Vermont Yankee said, you know, conservation's the way to go, so it's in my heart and soul to do that. And so I've been in the field for 20 years, and, you know, I get a little frustrated, try to get legislators to, you know, move forward, because I do some consulting with the state and see things that need to be done. And, you know, I just realized the light came on. You know, we've got these people making energy policy decisions, but they don't have any energy background whatsoever. So my goal is to take people who have a pension to get into the energy field and give them some real-world experience so they get to see hands-on. And so they may not want to be, you know, doing air sealing and blower door testing on buildings for a living, but at least they've been there, done that, so they understand that aspect as they move up, you know, to work in policy decisions, for example, or whatever they may get into in larger corporations, for example. So it's really give them hands-on experience and real-world knowledge.
And the hands-on experience that Common Sense Energy does is, it sounds like you're involved in home energy audits, and what else?
Well, I like to keep the residential side of doing audits and weatherization, you know, so that they can touch and see things. On my consulting side, it's a little more difficult. It's more technical in nature. Students love to come on to construction sites. Like I recently oversaw the thermal envelope with the new Aiken Center, not new, but the rehabbed Aiken Center, and people are really intrigued. Right now we're overseeing the construction of the Shelburne Museum thermal envelope there. And so we bring the interns down there. You know, I do my inspection, and Kevin, who's former intern and works for us, you know, I take the interns around and show them, explain what they're doing on the job site. And so it's a really good learning experience for them.
Do the students need to have special skills to intern with you?
They don't. I mean, I've hired on some of them, and some come and you know, with their own saw and cordless tools, you know, might be a little bit older, you know, 30 years old and work construction. And then I've got other interns that have never operated a power tool in their lives and say, could you bring those saw horses over here? And they'd look at me like, what are saw horses? So I get the full gamut.
And what is it that you ask of them and what do you, you know, offer to them?
Well, we offer, you know, being able to shadow us doing audits or doing on-site inspections. I'm privy with many different happenings in the energy world, so we have a newsletter that goes out, and we say, hey, there's, you know, this activity going on Tuesday at this time, or, you know, just keep them aware of what's going on, and then give them opportunities to come on jobs. I've also personally hired on a few over summer and got placed multiple interns with other jobs, you know, with other people in my field. So they've got some great hands-on experience over summer and earned some money. And so it's kind of a win-win situation.
And Gary Flumenhoft, what do you see as these students return from their internships? What are they coming back to the classroom with?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that there's a wide variety of internships that we place people in. Al would fall into the energy analysis area. We also have education, renewable energy, green design, and financing. So there's a wide variety of different possibilities. Not everybody's up there putting panels on roofs. There's all kinds of opportunities. And I also want to mention that about 25% of the students that do internships get a paid position out of it, either summer or permanent. So that's an approximate figure. So it's a really great stepping stone, as Becky mentioned, into the working world. And also, Al and others have been great at networking for students. So, you know, Al found someone a couple years ago a job, and the day after graduation she started with a consulting company for $20 an hour. So there's the networking aspect of the experience. But surprisingly, students sometimes come back and actually do better in their classroom portion because they've now gotten passionate about the subject matter, whereas I had a student who was failing the class. He came back from his internship and ended up with a B+ in the class. So it goes both ways. It helps their classroom, and then it also helps them ultimately find a job. And also wanted to mention a couple sort of superstar examples. I had an intern who was I got him an internship at Draker Solar before it was Draker Labs. He was, I think, the sixth employee hired, and he's still working there 8 years later, and they have something like 80 employees. One of my students got an internship in the spring, got another one in the summer, and they hired him full-time September of his senior year. So he had a job a year before he graduated. And then Avatar Energy, I also wanted to mention, who's hired numerous interns and has employed a large number of them. A guy named Perry was a student of mine. He did an internship, and he's been working there for, you know, for about 4 or 5 years now. So, and Al's been one of the best at really working with us and providing opportunities.
Well, we have one of your students on the line. Kevin Collins was a UVM grad last year, and he turned an internship from your class into what I understand is now a full-time job at Common Sense Energy. Kevin, are you there?
Yes, how are you?
Good. Tell us a little bit about what led you first to Gary Flumenhoff's class and next to Common Sense Energy.
I was an environmental studies student at UVM, and I found a particular interest in the green building field. Gary's class definitely fit the description for what I was interested in, and I really like the internship aspect. I think there's a disconnect right now in undergraduate education with academic and experiential learning. And the internship aspect definitely gives you a lot of hands-on experience and really, I guess, motivates you and gets you ready for a job after 4 years.
Are there, in your time at UVM, were there other opportunities to do internships, or was this one of the first?
There are. I think there's definitely room for more, but this one was certainly one of the more accessible examples.
And what made you decide to go with this particular internship? It sounds like from Gary's list you have a lot of options. Why did you gravitate to Common Sense Energy?
Well, I guess Alan probably won me over. He's very passionate about what he does. I guess just the hands-on approach, really. It's more hands-on work and less theoretical work, and I guess for me personally, I really felt that going out and accomplishing something with my hands was very beneficial for me.
Is the work that you're doing at Common Sense Energy similar to what you sort of imagined yourself going into, or was this sort of opening a side door that you didn't really expect to go through?
A little bit of both. It's been very rewarding. We get to go and go to new construction and look at the plans, do design review, and at the same time I get to go into residential homes and dive right into the attic and see firsthand all the problems that are going on. So there's a lot going on. I really like it.
So your when was your internship there?
This was, I believe, the fall of 2011.
And tell me your the sequence of events that led you to end up now being an employee.
Well, I had, after the internship in the fall, I think I had some more room in my schedule in the spring of my graduating year. I was well-versed in Common Sense Energy by then, so Alan made some more room for me, and I stayed on. And, yep, by then I just had a knack for everything, so it worked out.
Tell me about the job that you do now at Common Sense Energy.
Okay. Well, we are in between going down to the Shelburne Museum and doing some design review there and inspection for their new, I think it's art center. And at the same time, we're working on residential projects in Chittenden County, doing insulation improvements and the whole gamut there. So I think that is a good example of everything.
Kevin, what do you see among your classmates? So you graduated UVM last year with a bachelor's degree.
Yep.
What's going on for your classmates? Are they looking for jobs? Have they been more or less been able to find jobs?
Yeah, certainly. It's very difficult. I guess my graduating grade was in school in the middle of the, I guess, Great Recession is what they're calling it, and job prospects for kids our age weren't very promising coming out of 4 years. And unfortunately, to me at least, it felt like typical undergraduate institutions started to focus more on how to prepare their students for a graduate career, going into a graduate degree, rather than going into a job immediately out of college. And it was difficult for us because we're already shouldering the amount of debt from an undergraduate degree, and it's just difficult to even fathom going straight into grad school and taking on more debt. So a lot of us were certainly looking for jobs, and unfortunately a lot of us still haven't found jobs, so I count myself very fortunate to be where I am right now.
So did you have any roommates in your last year at UVM?
I did. I think I had three.
So of those three, where are they at with their job hunting or job prospects?
Well, two of them were fortunate enough to get jobs for V-Trans right here in Vermont. One of them has since moved on to New York, and the other is still here. And one of them's still searching. So I guess that makes three out of four that we're able to, but I think we're a rare example. Well, maybe not rare, but a fortunate example.
Did you think you might have to leave the state to get a job?
Certainly. And I love Vermont. I'm glad I haven't had to, but I think I was certainly prepared to go to somewhere that was, I guess, calling for jobs.
And have some of your friends, your classmates, found themselves having to leave the state to find employment?
Yeah. Not much further than New England, I would think, though.
Can I make a comment on that?
Sure.
Well, you know, the state has taken on the the goal of 80% renewable energy, or 90%, I think, by 2050. This means $1 billion is going to come back out of state into the state and invest in renewable energy. I can't think of a better field to be in right now, and particularly for in-state jobs. I think it was in the governor's speech you played, he said he wanted to see students come out and have multiple job offers. Well, my students are getting multiple job offers. I had a student who said, not necessarily in state, but he said, I had two job offers in Colorado, and I decided because I wanted to stay in Vermont, I took the job offer that I had in Vermont. So there's a perfect example. He had three offers, but he took the one in state because he wanted to stay in state.
Right. Al Bullis from Common Sense Energy, I'm curious, what is your sense from your colleagues on the employer side of things? Are you having a hard time finding qualified people to hire?
Yeah, it's difficult, especially in my field. It's kind of specialized. I mean, it's one thing to teach somebody how to use a caulking gun and, you know, and operate insulation. It's another thing to be able to go out and service the underserved part of our community, which is the small and medium-sized businesses that, you know, are... You need somebody with some depth and background, and the internship here at least is a stepping stone. It opens people's eyes up, and they have some baseline knowledge of something outside of the textbooks, and that's an important first step. I'd much rather hire someone who has, you know, some real-world experience versus none.
Right. Well, it strikes me you get basically this free audition when Gary sends you a student. While they may not think they're being looked at for a job, it's, you know, you get a rare opportunity to have them try out before you have to make any sort of commitment.
Right. And that's not really my my goal as far as hiring folks per se. I mean, yeah, it is. That's really an advantage. But I started out and I wanted people to get paid while they earn while they learn. Well, after, you know, I decided to start them at $12 an hour and becoming a first name basis with the tool repair guy, and realizing my productivity is going down, it's now we institute a probation period, and then after that they can get paid for helping out. But like I said before, lots of times it's, you know, not anything they're contributing. They're just giving. I'm just giving them an opportunity to get out into the field and look and see and understand what's going on. I mean, so many of these students have never been on a job site before, ever. You know, so it's kind of cool to give them that opportunity. And if it's something that piques their interest, then they're going to be much more motivated when they go back to the class. Like Gary mentioned, his previous student was, you know, failing, and I came back and was motivated and got a B+. So that's, and I love to see that because I want to, our society needs more people in this field, and this is a great way to invigorate people. And there's going to be jobs there. The bottom line is, you know, finite amount of fuel in this world, and we're going to have to learn to use it more wisely and use less of it.
I want to give an example from Avatar of the different types of opportunities. We had a guy who had a degree in environmental science. He's working basically doing microbiology for this anaerobic digesting company. One of my community development students is now the VP of marketing for the company, and another graduate was a welder. So you've got the whole range. And some of them have come back, and they have decided to go on to graduate school, particularly in fields like architecture and landscape design and other types of sustainable design careers. So there's you know, all kinds of results, positive results from it.
Now, is your course somewhat unique at UVM, or are there a variety of other ways that students can connect with businesses right from the school or within their classes even?
UVM is really good about service learning. They have an Office of Community and University Partnerships. The Rubenstein School has a summer internship program, which is called the Perennial Internship Program, which works with several Vermont organizations. And there's various internships that people can do for credit. I'm not sure. I think mine may be the only course which combines classroom and internship together. I think other internships are just all internship, you know, or an independent study or a practicum. I think mine may be the only one which combines classroom and internships. I'm not sure.
Where'd you get the idea to do this?
Well, I started out actually with this course being an international course through Community Development and Applied Economics. I was very fortunate they gave me the opportunity to take my experience in a developing country, and I was doing a combination of classroom and projects in Dominica, which is Peter Shumlin's favorite island. But I was no longer able to do that course. Actually, the last year I combined Vermont internship. So since I wasn't able to do it there, I decided, well, why not do the projects in Vermont instead of in, you know, this small island? So we started doing the projects here, and I thought, well, why not, you know, put them into these practical internships? And while the travel study course was a great experience for the students and would have been good for them if they were going into the international development field, it didn't necessarily get them a job opportunity when they graduated, whereas the internships do. So it's a more direct benefit by doing the internship in Vermont. And then they also get to work with a Vermont company, so they're also more likely to stay in the state. Because once they get their foot in the door, then they're more likely to get a job in Vermont.
Right. And I see, Al Bullis, on your website, you have three other interns listed on your staff at the moment.
Correct. Yep. One of them's graduated, or both, other than Kevin, they graduated in December, and one is doing a stint as a golf pro down in for the winter in Florida, and the other is on a trip to Costa Rica, and will be coming back this weekend.
And will any of them be coming back to work for you?
Oh yeah, they're. Yep, Emily's coming in. She's working full time. You know, I have an agreement. You know, I'll bring you on and work, but you know, I need at least a commitment of a year because a lot of it's training. So I don't want to spend, you know, all these time training and then turn around and they leave and go work for another company. So, but yeah, they'll be working with us and helping us further energy reduction use in Vermont.
Well, let me give the last word to Kevin. Kevin, what do you think Vermont needs to do to attract and keep more young people your age to stay here and work?
Well, I think Vermont is already a leader in this field, and I guess just making it more public and advertising more and working harder to keep students in Vermont institutions in state. I think they've done a great job so far, but it's only getting better and the field's only growing.
Okay. Well, Gary Flumenhoft, Al Bullis, and Kevin Collins, I want to thank you all for joining us this week on the Vermont Conversation. You can listen to this show and last week's Vermont Conversation by going to the Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility website, that's vbsr.org, and this show and last week's show and future shows are going to be posted there. Thanks, and that's all for this week's Vermont Conversation.
You have been listening to the Vermont Conversation with host David Goodman. Tune in next Wednesday when, once again, Vermont Businesses for Social Responsibility and its over 1,000 VBSR members bring you David Goodman with this special program. It's also made possible by Fairpoint Communications. Small business owners make it big with Fairpoint. National Life Insurance, for more than 150 years, working for a better tomorrow. People's United Bank, find out what know-how can do, a better business relationship. And Lake Champlain Transportation, a community leader pioneering new paths in business.